May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 103. Friends, this is the sinner's only hope when they come to die. May we sing with the prayer that it may be our hope. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Hymn 103.
Thank you. From the Word of God, we will read the Gospel according to John, chapter 1. The first chapter, the Gospel according to John. And we will read the first 34 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And may he now help us in prayer. Almighty, most merciful Lord, it is our privilege to be found in the house of God, the place where thine honour dwelleth. Oh, may we come in reverence and in godly fear. Oh, but may our privilege be to be found in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. May the Holy Spirit take possession of us and the services here to the honour and glory of thy name, and to be made a blessing to us, oh, that it might be. He must needs go through Jerusalem, an errand of mercy, to be found here according to divine eternal covenant appointments and with divine eternal covenant purposes to be fulfilled. So do bless us with a spirit of worship and a sense of thy gracious presence. And above all, may we know the reality of vital godliness. We dread an empty form, a mere round of service, that coming and going, but may there be an entry in by faith, and through grace, a possessing of our possessions in Christ. So on mercy's ground we come, confessing our unworthiness and sin and need. And with that desire to see the King in his beauty, to know that truth, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And oh, how many things there are for us to inquire about. May we be led by thy Spirit. Send us help from the sanctuary and strengthen us out of Zion. Above all, may we see no man save Jesus only, in hope, in dependence, and as sinners know the preciousness of his sin atoning blood as our only hope. And may we by faith see a risen Saviour and enter into his everlasting priesthood, almighty to save even to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. May there be many here today embraced in that, those who come unto God by him. May we be drawn there, led there, and through that only way, the intercession of an all-prevailing advocate and mediator. And may we know something of his love to touch our hearts, and then grace to walk in that love. In thy tender fear, may we ever be divinely kept. And oh, we do ask thou wilt not pass us by. Like poor blind Bartimaeus, when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by, oh, do not pass me by. We beg thou wilt come where we are, do for us all that we seek, and may we be humble before thee, seeking the honour and the glory of thy name, and above everything else to be made ready, made right, to be made real Christians, washed in the Redeemer's blood. So for every mercy and favour, so freely given, so undeserved, we would thank thee. May thy blessing rest on the services of thy house today and throughout our congregations and back at home. And may thy blessing rest on thy word. We do seek thy blessing in this sanctuary. The glory of thy name, the good of precious souls. May thy word find an abiding place. Oh, do bless seeking, longing souls here, and may they find what they seek. And may sinners be awakened by thy Spirit in the new birth, eyes opened to see, to feel their need, and to seek after the Saviour. And bless thy people, feed their souls with the bread of life abundantly. Bless the provision of thy house. Do satisfy thy poor with bread. and may they be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and cause them to drink of the river of thy pleasures. Oh, may there be those streams of love and mercy flowing from eternal love to meet the longing desires of thirsty souls who cannot be satisfied with those broken cisterns that can hold no water. And do bless thy people everywhere, throughout the earth, where thy name is honoured. Do remember the suffering church, especially in foreign lands, suffering so much for Jesus' sake. And our own ministers, and we do pray for our congregations. Thou wilt revive them, increase them in numbers, in godliness, in grace. But do help our ministers, many having to travel in this cold weather. And do help our own beloved congregation in the illness of their expected minister. And do bless our deacons with grace in the reading services. We would pray for the young people here and the children and the little ones. Oh, may they be that seed to serve thee, that generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed, and be with those who gather for the Sabbath school. Command thy blessing there, we pray. Be with the young people as they grow up in this evil world, and may they be sweetly helped to choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We pray for those unwell here and throughout our congregations, and those in trouble, those with hard things, some spiritually, those troubled by unbelief. Oh, do hold them fast, keep them near thee, save them in the hour of temptation, and those with things in their lives and families and homes and circumstances, and fears about health and about those they love, those with hard things. Oh, may they hear thee saying, that cause that is too hard for thee, bring it to me, and I will hear it. Oh, but do give us that living faith and that true repentance, that faith to behold the Lord the Lamb and to know that closer walk, oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm, a heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. We seek these blessings in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn number 406. Hark! How the blood-bought hosts above conspire to praise redeeming love in sweet harmonious strains. And while they strike the golden lyres, this glorious theme each bosom fires, that grace triumphant reigns. Hymn 406.
Thank you.
with the Lord's help, I will speak to you from the chapter we read, John chapter 1 and verse 29. The Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The first chapter in the Gospel according to John, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Surely there can be no more precious word in all Scripture than this, and especially in its blessed suitability to meet the deepest need of sinners who are longing for salvation. I hope, beloved friends, some of you have come here with that desire this morning, if not in the letter of it, in the spirit of it, that by faith you might behold the Lamb. You tried, tempted ones, you longing ones, thinking of that little word, does Satan tempt thee to give up, to call no more on Jesus' name? Cast not away thy little hope. Come hither and behold the Lamb. It's the whole of salvation centering in a glorious person. Now, it was clearly revealed to John the Baptist that he is the Son of God. And when John began to preach about him, he said, Behold, but he didn't say, Behold the Son of God. That's a glorious thing. But through the Holy Spirit's enabling, he brought it low, right down to what the guilty sinner needs, the Lamb of God. Now, there are many descriptions of the Lord Jesus, many of his character offices, many of his relationships and beautiful titles. I'm sure you young ones, you children, know many of them. You could say them, the shepherd and the priest and the king and the advocate, the foundation, you could go on. But this is special, isn't it? The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. It speaks of him in his meekness and his gentleness. It speaks of the Lord Jesus in his purity, his spotless perfection. But especially, it speaks of the Lord Jesus as the one sacrificed for sin, the one who shed his precious sin-atoning blood that sinners might be saved, the Lamb of God. Have you noticed when you come to the last chapter in the Word of God, the book of the Revelation, the name given to the Lord Jesus almost every single occasion is this: the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. A Lamb as it had been slain, which I take to mean this: a Lamb as it had been slain, that the merit of his precious blood is the same this morning as when he hung, bleeding, dying on the cross. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, let's be clear, beloved friends. When John spoke this word, the people knew what he meant. The Jewish nation all knew what the slain lamb meant. They didn't know the full significance. They didn't know the final revelation in Christ. But all of them knew what the Lamb of God signified. So we read of a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That is, in the types, the figures, the promises, the prophecies. So the Jewish nation, the people who were hearing, they all knew what John was speaking about when he said, "Behold the Lamb." Well, we go right back to the beginning, don't we? And Abel, the first sinner to reach heaven, redeemed by blood and saved by grace, he was taught to behold the Lamb of God. By faith, he brought a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Cain brought the fruit of his own hands, the work of his own hands. He thought it was something he could do that he had done for his acceptance. But Abel, taught by the Spirit of God, he brought a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Though dimly, in that far off age, he realized there was no hope, no forgiveness, no cleansing apart from atoning blood. And by faith he had a glimpse of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And then, of course, we have that wonderful revelation on the Passover night. The destroying angel passing through the land, bringing death and destruction to the firstborn in every house. But Israel had to learn that by nature they were no better than the Egyptians. It was only if a substitute was provided, and that substitute must be a lamb without blemish and without spot. The lamb must be slain, and its blood must be gathered in the basin, And then it must be sprinkled on the lintels and doorpost of the house. Have you ever thought how precious that lamb was in Israel? It meant life instead of death. It meant salvation to them. And it was substitution. It was what the New Testament says, he instead of me. It was a lamb in the place of the firstborn. Oh, how precious that blood was. But it must be sprinkled on the lintels and the doorposts of the house, which I take to mean this, a personal interest in the atonement. And their salvation was entirely in the lamb. It was entirely in the blood. You know, we wouldn't be fanciful, I hate it, but you think of those Israelites sheltering under the blood that night, and when the midnight hour drew near, some of them might have been completely confident. Some of them might have been almost terrified with fear, but if they were under the blood, they were safe. I know the Jews have the story, whether there's foundation of it or not, of that little boy in one of the homes who kept saying, "Father, are you sure the blood's there? Please go and have another look and make sure the blood is there." Oh, but that word, "and the blood shall be to you as a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." That's worth repeating, isn't it? When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the curse shall not be upon you to destroy you. When I smite the land of Egypt, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, we might mention Abraham. And Isaac, "Father, here's the wood, here's the altar, but where is the lamb, my son?" God will provide himself a lamb for the offering. Oh, that Jehovah Jireh, the lamb caught with his horns in the thicket, the lamb slain that Isaac might live. Then you think of all the types and shadows, the daily offering, the daily sacrifice. You think of the whole of Isaiah chapter 53, led as a sheep, led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. So when John the Baptist stood there and he cried, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," those Jewish listeners, they knew what he meant. They knew what he was talking about. It wasn't a strange language. But now, this is the fulfillment of it all. And this is the true Lamb of God, the one who really would take away sin. And not for the Jewish nation alone, as under the ceremonial law, but for Jews and Gentiles, eternally chosen in everlasting love. Out of all the nations of the earth, Gentiles as well as Jews, they knew what this meant. There's no thought of any Arminianism here. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So, this leads us to Calvary. Ye that pass by, behold the man. The man of grace for sinners slain, the Lamb of God for sinners slain, weeping to Calvary pursue. Behold the Lamb of God. Who he is, the Son of God from all eternity. And yet a real man, having taken our nature without sin into union with his divine person. Man to suffer, God to save. Behold the Lamb of God here as the sinner's substitute. You know, a substitute is someone who takes the place of another. And the whole teaching of the New Testament gospel is a substitutionary atonement. Christ hath once suffered the just for the unjust. That's the substitution, that he might bring us unto God. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold him in the garden. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Behold him in the judgment hall, in his silence, and in his sufferings. And behold him on the cross, the nails, the crown of thorns, the cruel spear, and the deeper sufferings of his holy soul. Oh, but the purpose of it, fixed from everlasting in the covenant of grace, it was to take away the sins of the world, to take them away. Because there's no hope for a guilty sinner unless his sins are taken away. And the only way the sin could be taken away by the dear Lamb of God was in bearing it. So if you have a margin to your Bible, it reads, behold the Lamb of God that beareth away, that beareth away the sins of the world. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. when his dear father, in love to sinners, took all the sins of all his people and laid them all on his beloved Son. And the Son of God, the dear Lamb of God, willingly bore them, and in bearing them, he satisfied divine justice, atoned for them, and he forever took them away. So John could write, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." So we can sing, "Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away, beareth away the sin of the world. On the great day of atonement in ancient Israel, there was symbolized the complete taking away, the complete removing of sin. You remember there were two goats taken, and the high priest cast lots, and one was for the Lord and one was for the people. One was led out, outside the camp, and there it was slain, and its blood was brought into the sanctuary for sin. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Oh, you see it sometimes, don't you? It's not just a doctrinal transaction. It's the love in it. It's the suffering. It's the compassion. What object's this that meets my eyes without Jerusalem's gate? Now the other goat, the scapegoat, the sins of all Israel ceremonially were laid on it, and it was led by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And it is never to be seen by mortal eye again. The complete removing of the sins of all God's people in the atonement. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Behold the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. If your religion's real, you want to know that he's taken away your sin. Now that's the point. Oh, my sin. To know that the Lord has taken away my sin. So what's the work of the Holy Spirit? to teach you your need as a sinner, to show you that you need your own sin personally to be taken away, to teach you you cannot do this yourself, to show you that only one can do it, to tell you it's the love of God, to point you to Calvary, where he took away all the sins of his people, and then to bring you in humble prayer and humble dependence on mercy's ground alone, in humble confession, begging that the Lord will take away your sin. Oh, the whole of Psalm 51. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Hyssop was that little plant that applied the blood. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Black I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. Now this is vital. We read in the book of the Revelation of all the redeemed in heaven, in all ages, from the foundation of the world to the end of it. Now, who are these? Sir, thou knowest. Now, this is it. These are they that have come out of great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, on that ground only, and for no other reason, therefore are they before the throne. Which, if words mean anything at all, mean this. There's no way to heaven apart from through the blood of the Lamb. That's why the whole of the redeemed unite in one song unto him that loved us and hath washed us from our sins in his own blood. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So, as you're brought into it personally, it is to be brought into this vital word, behold the Lamb of God. We are to behold him. Now, John had beheld him, so he knew what he was speaking about. John beheld him and he saw a dove from heaven descending on his head. He heard the voice of the Father. There were many on this occasion who outwardly beheld the Lamb of God, but they never beheld him savingly. It is to behold him by faith, God-given faith. It's to behold him in prayer, that he might take away our sins. It's to behold him in complete dependence. Now this is vital. You see, there's a glorious truth of Christ and him crucified. But it's what does it mean to you and me personally? Is that entering in by faith? Is that being led by the Spirit of God? This is vital. Do not pass me by. It's for you and me as led by the Spirit of God to be brought to behold the Lamb of God taking away the sin of the world with a sweet hope that he's taking away our sin. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I want to speak very carefully and advisedly here. Some time ago, we heard a very gracious minister and he preached two very beautiful sermons on our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. He preached who he is, what he's done. And it was completely left there. And there are a lot of children and young people there. But the point is, the Holy Spirit brings these things together. The rich and the poor meet together. A poor sinner's personal need and the rich provision in the finished work of the dear Lamb of God. So it's this being brought to behold him. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Behold him in his wonderful love. Was ever love like this? Behold him in those dreadful sufferings for unworthy sinners. But behold him now risen, exalted, glorified. Him hath God exalted as a prince and a saviour to give repentance unto Israel and the forgiveness of sins. Behold him as the Saviour, the only Saviour, an almighty Saviour, a willing Saviour. This man, because he continueth ever, hath an eternal, an everlasting priesthood, wherefore he is able to save even to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But you'll be brought to behold other things. You'll be brought to behold yourself in something of the greatness of your need. Oh, do I here begin? Oh, do I feel my need of Christ to save my soul from sin? You'll be brought to behold that. You'll be brought to behold the vanity of the world. You'll be brought to behold the blessedness of the people of God. You'll be brought to behold the judgment day. How shall I stand? But the Lord doesn't leave his work unfinished. You'll be brought to behold the Lamb of God. And there'll be an attraction in him. And you'll know what the hymn writer meant when he said, "Thou, O Christ, art all I want." You'll behold him as your foundation. The only foundation, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So you'll behold him as the rock of ages, which cannot be shaken, which cannot be moved. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him in his precious sin atoning blood, your only hope, your only plea. And behold him in that glorious righteousness we sang of at the beginning. Did it mean anything to you? And behold him in his all-prevailing intercession, this great and glorious high priest. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, but we read so much about the lamb slain. But there's the lamb exalted. The lamb exalted. The lamb who is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. And those who behold him by faith here below as their only hope, the only ground of their confidence, these are the one who to their everlasting satisfaction will one day behold him in heaven. Lamb of God, we fall before thee, humbly trusting in thy cross. Thine alone be all the glory. All things else are dung and dross. Thee we own, a perfect Saviour, only source of all that's good, every grace and every favour come to us through Jesus' blood. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And remember this, ever remember it, that every grace, all that you ever know, all that you ever receive, every grace and every favour come to us through Jesus' blood. So he's the only way of salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name whereby we must be saved. It is the only way of salvation. It is the only way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's that Jesus only. It's the Lamb of God only. That which was so revealed to Peter, James and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus only, none but Jesus. From his blood our hopes arise. This is the only, our only ground and foundation for prayer. And yet what blessings flow to sinners in answer to prayer. This is our only plea. This is the only ground of our acceptance. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And yet there's everything in him. There's none but Jesus. It's Jesus only. But there's no need of another. It's Jesus only. Everything in him and all flowing from his precious blood. It just drops upon my spirit as we come to a close this morning. One of those well-known converted Jews who became a godly minister. He was brought under the Spirit's teaching under a deep sense of his sinful condition. And all he had was the Old Testament. And as he read the Old Testament, and as he groaned under his soul's condition, all he could see was the need of a lamb. The need of the precious blood. And he inquired from the rabbi, well, where is the lamb? Where is the blood? they couldn't really answer him. And one day, almost in despair, he did the thing that he'd been forbidden to. He went into a Christian church or chapel tremblingly. And the first word he heard was, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And that did the need. That did the deed. He didn't need anything else. Neither do you. And neither do I. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, that this morning we might see that beauty, that sweet attraction in the dear Lamb of God. We might know something of that closer walk with him, a light to shine upon the road that leads us to the Lamb, that he might be everything to us, that vital word might belong to us, redeemed, not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, John pointed his hearers there. The gospel minister points his hearers there. And may the Holy Ghost, the divine comforter, lead us there. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Collections last Lord's Day were £881, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Jabez Rutt will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Adrian Pickett next Lord's Day, and there will be no Sunday school today through illness. Let us close with hymn 766. Sovereign grace o'er sin abounding, ransomed souls the tidings swell. 'Tis a deep that knows no sounding, who its breadth or length can tell. On its glories let my soul forever dwell. Hymn 766.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us forever. Amen.